Well, praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the New Testament, the book of Romans, chapter 11. There are 36 verses in this chapter. We have a translation and commentary. And then we're in the part 7 of Knowing Who You Are, knowing the ascension. We must know that we have died out to this world, risen with Christ in his resurrection, and ascended to the throne of the living God with him in heavenly places, and that we now, with God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and ourselves, we are called to reign, to rule, and to wage spiritual warfare against the enemy of God, the devil. And we have a couple of letters here. Actually, we've got around and a couple of other responses. Let's go to the throne of the Lord now to ask him to anoint his service. Lord, you've anointed those of us that are saved. We're anointed inside. We have your life in us. And now we ask, Lord, that you pour your power out upon us, the outward anointing of the Holy Spirit. It gives us the power to minister the gospel, the good news of that ye have brought forth salvation into the world now for all who will accept your word, your entire word, which is Jesus. And you've also brought the baptism of the Holy Spirit into this world. And you've also brought ascension, and you've given us rulership over the entire universe with you. And we shall reign eternally in the kingdom of heaven with a rod of iron. Lord, we ask that you pour more faith into, or more knowledge of the faith that you've already given us, and more faith, which comes by hearing and hearing by the word. We need to, you've already provided everything, so there's really no need for us. If we believed everything that you provided for us, that we have it, then there's no need to even ask for it, because we already have it. We have healing, salvation, healing. We have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have prosperity to the degree. We have a level of authority in the body of Christ. We have power in spiritual warfare. We have power and dominion over the serpents, the evil people in this world, and the scorpions. And, Lord, we have eternal life forever in the kingdom of God. We have fellowship with you. We have communion with you. We can talk to you. We can come up to you boldly because we're free from sin. And we can receive answers to the difficult questions that may arise in our hearts. Lord, open every heart, soul, spirit, mind, and spirit to receive all these blessings, to receive the fact that you've already given them to us. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now where's the first letter from?
From Cameroon, Africa.
Okay.
To Pastor Alamo, hallelujah, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Brother Samuel from Cameroon. I have received the amount of gospel literature that I requested in the mail. My crew and I have begun to work with it. We have won two large families of refugees from the Democratic Republic of the Congo to Christ. They include 20 people.
A Democratic Republic. See, democracy is actually dictatorship these days. Democracy is telling us that we have to obey, that we don't have any longer have the freedom to go to and fro without passports and without... we don't own our property anymore. We can't... most of the people can't mention the name of God, except people like myself. In courtrooms, people are not able to read the Bible in schools, and all kinds of different things that people cannot do. They cannot preach a lot of the different things that people preach, except we do, and we're always going to do it. So democracy, he's freeing them from democracy to theocracy. Amen?
Amen.
God's realm is not a democracy, it's a theocracy. Now, theo means God. It's a godocracy. Amen?
Amen.
Everything is God, God, God with us. And God is Jesus. Jesus is God. The Word is God. Jesus is God. Okay, let's hear. He freed these people from that democratic society over there. Then what?
They include 20 people plus 15 street kids. We have also won a girl to Christ who had been a prostitute. There have already been at least 40 people won to the Lord through your gospel tracts. I want your help to sustain all these souls. This is especially for the refugees from the Democratic Republic of the Congo and the Central African Republic, and for something to be done to represent your ministry in Cameroon and all over Africa. I am ready to work with you. It is merciful for me to win souls to the Lord. Since I was a child, it has been my dream to work with a man of God who is Jewish. The photographs and the report are going to be mailed next week. Pastor, may God bless you, and may He again give you His grace and His power in your spiritual ministry. Greetings from Brother Samuel, Brother Lilo, and Brother Juvenal, those who I have trained up in the Word. All of them are refugees from the war. Thank you, Pastor. Please send French tracts and Bibles to me to give to these souls from God. We are waiting for your response to our appeal. Thank you. God bless you. KSY from Cameroon.
Praise the Lord. Okay, and there was the next letter from
Andhra Pradesh, India.
Okay.
Dear World Pastor Tony Alamo, I greet you in the ever-precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank you for your letter and also for the literature and tracts I have been distributing to the people. Through these tracts, people are saved, so I have given baptism. They were strong Hindus. They never knew the love of God. Therefore, we have to follow them up with the Bible and some literature, because they are very eager to know the love of God in the Bible. I would like to ask you to pray for this request. Let these people know what your literature does in their lives. Also, please help my ministry by sending some Telugu Bibles. On behalf of your work, I gained some more souls for the kingdom of God, which you instructed me to do. So let me remain with much love and pray for this great ministry work, and I would like to send a baptism photo. Pastor, help my church grow in the love of God through the Word of God, which is the Bible. Thanking you, sir, yours in Christ, Pastor P.T. from Andhra Pradesh, India.
Now, we've been able to do that. We've been able to help all these different churches with literature and Bibles, but the ministry is going out of proportion. It's like growing so much that we need your help out there in radio land and internet land. We're all over the world very strongly now, and dig into whatever you can and start sending some finances, because, you know, when you put money into the work of the Lord, you're part of this work. If you're a part of the body of Christ and you see all these souls getting saved, then you don't want to be negligent and close your eyes to it. You want to keep your eyes open and just trust the Lord. Tithe in to where the whole truth is being taught. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now you have a couple other responses here.
Yes. A lady named Monette from Denton, Texas, called the witnessing line. She said that she had found Pastor Alamo's website and was on the site reading your literature for 5 hours. She said, "This is the kind of church I am looking for." She told me of all her struggles she has gone through to find a church that is preaching the whole Bible, and she is planning to come to services in the Texarkana area. Monette said that it's about a 5-hour drive from Denton to the Texarkana area, but she said she has got to get there. She said she left her computer on your website and is planning to go back today and read some more. She was very excited to have found your website, and she is looking forward to downloading your tape messages also.
Right. The tape messages are on the internet now, and we shall soon have several hundred of them on. We have space on there for over 4,000, and I've done many more than that down through the years, and so I have a staff of people that are preparing the tapes for the internet right now. A lot of them run an hour and a half, 2 hours, some a half hour, so they're trying to get them all organized to where you can hear them in a organized manner. All right, then you got something else here?
Yes. A woman in Muldrow, Oklahoma has been getting your literature and tapes now, and she said she really loves them. She told me last evening that she used to watch you on television with Susie every Sunday morning. She said she never missed a program. She even remembers seeing you on a program before you got saved, being interviewed when you were promoting rock groups. She doesn't attend any church and basically just stays home and works on her yard.
I didn't only promote rock groups. I owned them. Pete Best of the Beatles. I also promoted Sonny and Cher and just a singer named Rovan, and many actors, actresses, and some politicians. I was asked to do the promotion for the entire Democratic Party. And I refused because I don't, at that time, I didn't know anything about politics. And I'm glad I did because I know all about it now. All right, then what?
She's in her 60s. She did say that she was raised Baptist when the Baptists believe in keeping the commandments.
Well, they used to believe in it, huh?
Yes.
Okay. But they didn't, most of them did not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. Well, I praise and thank the Lord because a lot of them are starting to receive the full message of the gospel. I've met several Baptist ministers that are full gospel now, and I praise and thank the Lord for them. All right, now, Sharon, let's come forward. Thank you, Michelle. And Sharon, you want to come forward and let's start doing reading from Romans chapter 11.
God's mercy on Israel, the Jews, King James Version, verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Verse 2. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Verse 3. Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Verse 4. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men, who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Verse 5. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Verse 6. And if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace.
Well, grace means power. And that's what it means. When the power of God is in you, the full power of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, well then, like Paul said, I did more work than all the other apostles put together, yet not I, but Christ in me. So, in other words, the Bible also says that Christ is the power, the wisdom and power of God. So, when the Bible says grace, the grace of God, that means the power of God. So a lot of people have never come to the conclusion of what grace is. But remember, wherever you see grace, it does. It means a lot of people say, well, by God's grace, we can sin. Why would it be that God's power would give you the right to sin? God's power gives you the power to never sin. All right? And then what?
But if it be of works, then is it no more grace?
No, in other words, if it be of your work alone, without God's power, then it's no longer God's power. It's just you, and you cannot do anything apart from me. Jesus said you can do nothing that is godly. All right, and then what?
Otherwise work is no more work.
Right, so then what?
Verse 7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Translation, verse 1 through 7.
Okay, and we'll just read out the entire translation from now on, from here on out, for the full 36 verses.
God's mercy on Israel, the Jews. I ask then, has God rejected his people, the Jews? Of course not! Exclamation mark. Remember that I myself am a Jew, a descendant of Abraham, and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. Verse 2. No, God has not rejected his own people whom he chose from the very beginning. Do you remember what the scriptures say about this? Elijah the prophet complained to God about the people of Israel and said, verse 3, quote, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I alone am left, and now they are trying to kill me too, unquote. Verse 4, and do you remember God's reply? He said, quote, you are not the only one left. I have 7,000 others who have never bowed down to Baal! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 5. It is the same today, for not all the Jews have turned away from God. A few are being saved as a result of God's kindness in choosing them. Verse 6. And if they are saved by God's power, then it is not by their good works. For in that case, God's wonderful kindness would not be what it really is.
Or God's wonderful power would not be what it is. God saves us by his power, but he saves us by his power to do something. Why would he save us if he didn't have a job for us to do? Why would he want to live in us if we were going to be statues, immobile, not doing anything? He said that, "I'll show you my faith by my works," James, the brother of Jesus said, the half-brother. Then what?
God's wonderful kindness would not be what it really is, power and election. Brackett, I'd like to say at this time that most of these translators say that it's free and undeserved.
That grace means that it means undeserved favor. That's the farthest thing from that could ever possibly be. Why would it be undeserved if we serve the Lord? Why would it be undeserved if we come unto him? The Lord says that we deserve it. He says, "Come in, my good and faithful servant." In other words, my deserved servant. Amen?
Amen.
Faithful in what? Sitting? Doing nothing? My good? Good for what? Good for nothing if you just sit around and just live a carnal life in the country clubs, or over, you know, at the Beverly Hills Hotel, or over at the Beverly Hills Health Spas, or wherever you nosh. Okay, go ahead.
This isn't what the Lord tells me. It's actually grace, which is free. It's talking about God's election. God selects who he wants to be saved, and it's free for faith.
Who he wants to be saved are those that come for salvation. If you don't come for salvation, he doesn't want to save you. You say, "Well, he saves only who he wants to." Yes, I hire only those that I want to. If they come to me for a job, I want to hire them if they have the qualifications and they show me some ambition, or they show me a desire to do the job, and they have qualifications. But if they don't come to me, I don't want to hire them. Would you?
No.
What, am I supposed to go down and beg people to work for me? You've got the wrong idea. Democracy has put wrong ideas in your head, because democracy tells you that all people are born equal. No, that isn't true. Some people are born with fingers missing and toes missing. I don't call them equal, amen? Some have got bad eyes, like myself. I don't call my eyesight equal to a person that's got bird's eyes, like a hawk or an eagle. Amen?
Amen.
We're not equal. Some of us are different colors. In the Lord, we all become one. Amen?
Amen.
But we still have different offices, so we're not equal. The sun the moon is not equal to the sun, and the sun is not equal to the moon. They all have different offices. The moon is weaker. The sun is more powerful. I mean, somebody said that, Abraham Lincoln, but it ain't true, all right. Then what?
So it's by power, or they say grace, power and election.
Yeah, election is God elects those, or in other words, hires those that come to him for the job. Count the cost before you come to the Lord. See if you want to give your life over to him. Count the cost, but then also consider the reward. Eternity in heaven and complete exit from escape from the bowels of hell and the fiery furnace of the lake of fire. So, I want to be hired by the Lord because he terrorizes me. Some people think that you're not supposed to be terrorized by the Lord. You're not saved yet, then you don't know him. Because I have the fear of the Lord. That's how I got saved in the first place. I would never serve him if I didn't fear him. That's why you're not serving him, if you don't fear him. If you saw hell like I did, and if you saw Jesus appear right in front of you like I did, and if you saw the visions and had the dream visions that I've had, and seen Christ with your eyes wide open like I did, and hell Well, then maybe you'd fear God too. And if you'd read the Bible, maybe you'd fear Him. Because without the fear of the Lord, you're never going to serve the Lord and you'll never get into heaven. Okay, then what else?
Verse 7. So this is the situation. Most of the Jews have not found the favor of God, bracket, or the election of God, or the power of God, and bracket. They are looking for it so earnestly. A few have, bracket, the ones that God has chosen, elected, and given the power, and bracket, but the rest were made unresponsive.
And because He knows their hearts. He knows that if He revealed Himself to them. David Romick, a friend of mine, he's Jewish, and we were both in the record industry together. And he saw the Lord Jesus Christ with his very eyes. I've told this report on several different tapes before, and he never received the Lord, even after seeing Him. Now, David was going to be a rabbi, and he studied to be a rabbi, and he had seen so much fallacy in the rabbinical school and among the rabbis, the Jews, that he just discarded it. And so God, I prayed to God that God would give him a vision of Christ. And the second it came out of my mouth, I prayed it silently. He yelled out, "I saw Him." We were praying together with my wife Sue, and she said, "You saw what, David?" And he says, "I saw Him." "Who did you see?" He says, "You know, Jesus." And so she said, "Well, what did He say?" "Well, He was, he said He told me," and he'd never read the Bible before, the New Testament. He said, "He says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest," or something like that. And he said, and he said it in Hebrew to me. Now, David actually spoke very well, good Hebrew. Well, he never did serve the Lord. From what I understand, he recently died and went out to meet God without Christ. And there are many other Jews that have seen Christ. God gave them an opportunity, and they didn't receive it. And so the Jews, God's people say, well, why did God reject them? Because He and they reject Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the actual Savior, who in fact is God. So if you reject me, He says, I'll reject you. If you're ashamed of me in this world, I'll be ashamed of you before my Heavenly Father and the holy angels in heaven. So you want to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, you're not the final word. God is the word, and He's the final word. You're not the judge. He's the final judge, and I'm telling you how He's going to judge you. And so I'm not using my judgment when I'm telling you this. There are many Jews, and there are many Gentiles that have had visions of the Lord Jesus Christ with their eyes wide open, and they did not receive Him. And so you can't blame God for what you do. You reject the Lord, that's on you. That's on you at the judgment bar. So I realized over 40 years ago to turn my back on the world and completely, utterly forsake it and serve God. And that's my testimony. Okay, then what else?
Verse 8, as the scriptures say, quote, God has put them into a deep sleep. To this very day He has shut their eyes so they do not see, and closed their ears so they do not hear, unquote. Verse 9.
Now, I had a vision of a dog. I've told this before, but I know I have a lot of new listeners. And I have compassion on people that have never heard the gospel before and have never heard the supernatural experiences that I've had. The Lord told me to tell people my supernatural experiences. So those of you that have heard them, just be patient here, because you'll learn more as the message goes on. But a dog was sleeping. Half of his body was in the doghouse, and the half was out in the world. And the doghouse looked kind of like a church. And it was a big English bulldog, and it was a beautiful sunshiny day, and he looked like he was in the deepest, most peaceful sleep. And then the vision went backwards, and all of a sudden I could see the top of his head, and I could see a lion sitting there casually, very casually in the noonday sun, had the top of the dog's head off and was just licking his brains out. And that's the condition of the church. That's the condition of the world today. And people are not concerned about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, about the power of God, about serving the Lord. They've got their minds on too many different things. Like, I get tempted to do all sorts of different promotions all the time. And I keep thinking, well, maybe I could do some of them because they wouldn't take much of my time. But then I start getting involved a little bit more into it, and I can see this one would take too much of my time. But there are certain things that I will do that the Lord approves, but I seek Him first. I'm into the gospel field 24/7. That's my what I'm all about. Okay, then what else?
David spoke of this same thing when he said, quote, "Let their bountiful table become a snare, a trap that makes them think all is well. Let their blessings cause them to stumble."
Yeah, in other words, all these people that are making so much money in this world today, they have abundance of everything. Their table is full to the hilt, and it's a snare unto them. Like, there's these rap artists that have got millions and millions and hundreds of millions of dollars, and they just spend it on everything in the world, and it's a snare unto them because they become so high-minded. In these actors and actresses and singers, they get so high and haughty that they really start believing that they themselves are gods, because so many people just adore them and are applauding them. And the same thing happens with me in the promotional field. But I've had a real good scare of the Lord. The Lord really frightened me to the point where none of that gets to me. And that's where you have to get. You've got to receive the fear of the Lord, because that's the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord, the Bible says, is wisdom. And the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. Not awe God, but fear God. Okay, the Lord claims that He's a terrorist, and He says He'll mock and scoff at people while they're going to hell and laugh at them. And I can't think of a thing that would be worse than that, to have the Almighty God, who created heaven and the earth and everything in them, laughing at me real loud as I'm going into hell in the lake of fire. Don't let that happen to you. I'm not going to let it happen to me. Okay, then keep reading.
Verse 10. Let their eyes go blind so they cannot see.
And that's what happens to them. So God doesn't want to choose and elect and give power unto them, because they don't want it. They are gods themselves, they think. These people that are politicians, and they can go on television anytime they want, and they've got all these people applauding them, and they're the head of the Democratic Party and the head of the Republican Party, and the Communist Party and the Socialist Party and all these other parties. But every one of them is going to stand before the Almighty God and give account of themselves as to whether they lined up with the Word of God or not. And if they don't, well, you just read the Bible and see what's going to happen to them. Don't have to believe me. Just read it for yourself. But if you want to believe me, they're going to hell in the lake of fire, and you'll read it for yourself if you take the time to read the Bible. Then what?
And let their backs grow weaker and weaker, unquote. Verse 11.
And they will. Everybody gets weaker as they get old. Do you ever know that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What about you? Don't you feel weaker?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I do, too. You do, too, out there in radio land. Okay, then what?
Did God's people stumble and fall beyond recovery? Of course not! Exclamation mark. This purpose was to make His salvation to the Gentiles, and then the Jews would be jealous and want it for themselves. Verse 12. Now if the Gentiles were enriched because the Jews turned down God's offer of salvation, think of how much greater a blessing the world will share when the Jews finally accept it. Verse 13. I'm saying all this especially for you Gentiles. God has appointed me as the apostle of the Gentiles. I lay great stress on this. Verse 14. For I want to find a way to make the Jews want what you Gentiles have, that in that way I might save some of them. Verse 15, for since the Jews' rejection meant that God offered salvation to the rest of the world, how much more wonderful their acceptance will be. It will be life for those who were dead! Exclamation mark. Verse 16, and since Abraham and the other patriarchs were holy, their children will also be holy. For if the roots of the tree are holy, the branches will be as well. Verse 17, but some of these branches from Abraham's tree, bracket some of the Jews, and bracket, have been broken off. And you Gentiles, who were branches from a wild olive tree, were grafted in. So now you also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children, sharing in God's rich nourishment of his special olive tree. Verse 18, but you must be careful not to brag about being grafted into the place, into replace the branches that were broken off.
Yeah, you Gentiles, don't brag about being replacing the Jews, because if God broke the Jews off, he can break you off also. And he's breaking a lot of you off. A lot of you willingly have begun serving the Antichrist. You become the temple of Satan. Okay, and that's sad. Very sad. You need to see if you can get back to God. Then what?
Remember, you are just a branch, not the root. Verse 19. Well, you may say, those branches were broken off to make room for me. Verse 20. Yes, but remember, those branches, the Jews, were broken off because they didn't believe God. And you are there because you do believe. Don't think highly of yourself, but fear what could happen. Verse 21. For if God did not spare the branches he put there in the first place, he won't spare you either. Verse 22. Notice how God is both kind and severe. He is severe to those who disobey, but kind to you as you continue to trust in his kindness. But if you stop trusting, you also will be cut off. Verse 23. And if the Jews turn from their unbelief, God will graft them back into the tree again. He has the power to do it. Verse 24, for if God was willing to take you, who were by nature branches from a wild olive tree, and graft you into his own good tree, a very unusual thing to do, he will be far more eager to graft the Jews back into the tree where they belong. God's mercy is for everyone that believes. Verse 25, I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud and start bragging. Some of the Jews have hard hearts, but this will only last until the complete number of Gentiles comes to Christ. Verse 26, and so all Israel will be saved. Do you remember what the prophet said about this? Quote, a deliverer will come from Jerusalem, and he will turn Israel from all ungodliness. Verse 27, and then I will keep my covenant with them and take away their sins. Unquote. Verse 28, many of the Jews are now enemies of the good news, the gospel. But this has been to your benefit, for God has given his gifts to you Gentiles. Yet the Jews are still his chosen people because of his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 29, for God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. Verse 30, once you Gentiles were rebels against God, but when the Jews refused his mercy, God was merciful to you instead. Verse 31, and now in the same way, the Jews are the rebels, and God's mercy has come to you. But someday they too will share in God's mercy. Verse 32. For God has imprisoned all people in their own disobedience, so he could have mercy on everyone. Verse 33. Oh, what a wonderful God we have! Exclamation mark. How great are his riches and wisdom and knowledge! Exclamation mark. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his methods! Exclamation mark. Verse 34, for who can know what the Lord is thinking? Who knows enough to be his counselor? Verse 35, and who could ever give him so much that he would have to pay it back? Verse 36, for everything comes from him. Everything exists by his power and is intended for his glory. To him be glory evermore. Amen.
All right, that was the 36th verse in the 11th chapter of Romans, translation, and now some commentary.
11, verse 1 through 6. The Apostle Paul uses himself as an example. He points to himself as an example of the fact that there is a saved remnant of Jews in Israel. 11, verse 7 through 10. Israel refers to the majority of those who are Jews by physical descent, including their recognized leadership. Having failed to obtain the right standing with God they had sought by their own efforts, they have been hardened. Persistent and obstinate unbelief brought God's judgment upon them. 11 verse 11. The unbelief of Israel has opened the door of opportunity for the Gentiles to be saved. It has opened the door of salvation to the Gentiles. The purpose of the Lord is that when unbelieving Jews see many Gentiles turn to Christ, they will become jealous and will repent and come to the Lord by faith. 11 verse 12. Paul begins a theme that returns in verses 15, 23 through 25 and 26. God has planned that in the future there will be a massive ingathering of Jewish people as they come to believe in Christ and are reconciled to God. This future revival of faith among the Jewish people is here called, quote, their fullness, unquote, quote, their acceptance, unquote, verse 15, and their being, quote, grafted back into their own olive tree, unquote, verses 23 through 24. Many scholars believe the New Testament does not specify the exact time of this ingathering, but it does tell us that there would be the end of the Gentile dispensation. The Bible tells us that the Jews would be returned to their homeland, and that happened in 1947 to 1948.
Right, that's the end of the Gentile dispensation of time. You can just see that they're just wanting to tell you some new thing, and yet it isn't from the Lord. That much of it is not from the Lord. Then what?
Very few Gentiles really mean business with the Lord, but there are Jews that really do. Some Gentiles do. It says in the Bible they'll be saved. Many Gentiles will be saved. 11 verse 17 through 24. Paul warns Gentiles against bragging or boasting, verse 17 through 18. Pride, verse 19 through 21. And presumptuousness, verses 22 through 24. Since they are but a wild olive branch grafted in because of Israel's unbelief. 11 verse 25. Israel's rejection is temporary until all those who are going to be saved from among the Gentiles come to trust in Christ. Then salvation will come to a large number of Jews in the same way it has come to people for centuries, in a faith response to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. 11 verse 26. And so it is in this way, in the process just described, all Israel does not mean that every Jewish person who has ever lived will be saved. Paul does not teach that, and neither does the rest of the Bible. See chapter 10, verse 2 through 3. The term must be understood in the same sense as, quote, the fullness of the Gentiles, unquote, verse 25. Not all Gentiles will be saved just because it says the fullness of the Gentiles. Paul is therefore speaking in a collective sense. There will be a mighty turning on the part of the Jews to Christ. And that's happening today. I myself am a Jew, and there are many people that are Jews in the church. Susie was a Jew. Although many scholars believe the New Testament does not specify the time of Christ, the time of Israel's ingathering, others see here a possible reference in Paul's statement, quote, the deliverer will come, unquote.
All right, the Lord wants us to be perceptive as to the hour that we're living in. And we can see the scriptures being fulfilled all the time. I can witness that I've seen hundreds of Jews being saved now and that they're preaching the gospel. And so we know that the time, the hour of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand and the time of the coming of the Lord is at hand. All right, it's... We see the great falling away has already been, has happened. You see this, what looks like a big revival all over the world, and you can tell it's just a bunch of heretics following after false leaders, false teachers. So what they've done is many of them have fallen into this. A lot of celebrities want to get on the these different talk shows and say they're Christians. I myself have known several of them that have gone on the show while they were stone drunk, and They just wanted the publicity. And so that's why you have to look at the way that the things really are. It looks wonderful to hear a person on television saying, oh, you know, I'm saved and I'm a celebrity. And but everyone that says they're Christians are not Christians. And then I know a lot of people that claim to be leaders of Christianity, and they are no more saved than the devil is. And I know these gospel singers, and they are no more saved than the devil is. Many of them, I mean, an abundance of them, are loaded on narcotics and drugs. It's so the great falling away is here, just as is mentioned in the second chapter of Second Thessalonians, where it tells that there'll be a great falling away just before Christ comes back. And the devil is very clever, and he masquerades it to look as though it's a big revival, but it's really the great falling away. All right, then why do I know that? Because the Lord revealed that to me. Then what else?
Thus, taking this ladder, we are able to see a quote of Isaiah chapter 59, verse 20, as a reference to Christ's return. Hence, many Jews, having seen and heard the truth of the gospel, of course, way before the Great Tribulation, it will be right now, have accepted and will accept the Messiah before his return.
Now, we know that we're in tribulations right now. We're in the beginning of sorrows, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, tsunamis, pestilence. A lot of people think pestilence is like grasshoppers or bugs. Pestilence is diseases, incurable diseases. And there's a multitude of them, and most of you know them. Diabetes, heart trouble, cancer, leukemia, AIDS, Ebola, just one after the other. And so these are the beginning of sorrows, and these are the beginning of tribulations. Now, the great tribulations, it's going to get worse and worse. Remember one thing, it's never going to get better. And you see these wars and these man-made wars, these terrorists, the people that are leaders are causing people to be terrorists because these small countries don't have enough money to wage atomic war against the ones that are bombing them. So their only recourse is to be terrorists. And I'm not standing up for them at all. But I'm certainly not standing up for these people that are forcing this one world dictatorship down these third world countries. What other recourse does a third world country have but terrorism? And especially, it's an amazing thing, and it's a terrible thing, that some of the politicians, the high up politicians, are involved with them. And why would they do something like this? Why would the devil do something like that? The spirit of the Satan is in the majority of people. And the spirit of the Lord is in a lot of people also. But we're going about doing good. And these people, Satan is in a rage now because he knows that his time is short. And so what he's doing is just doing crazy things, bombing countries and thinking that Satan's last attempt to rule the world, which he'll never do. He's never going to rule everybody any longer. It's over with for him. He's finished. And a lot of people are going along with him because in the outward it looks like he's really going to do something. But he is already a defeated foe. And the Bible tells us that the Lord's kingdom will be forever and ever, and Satan's kingdom will be smashed to piece to powder. And so be realistic about this whole thing. You see these prophecies coming to pass in front of your very eyes. So it should lead a thinking person to believe that the rest of God's prophecies are going to come to pass. We're right at the door of the great tribulations. Now, a lot of false prophets tell you that you're going to be raptured out of these tribulations. don't believe them any more than God raptured the people of Israel out of the tribulations when he turned Egypt upside down. He just had them go to Goshen and sit there and wait for God to annihilate every one of them. Every place else was infested with flies, but not there. Not even one fly was there in Goshen. And to this day, there hasn't been one. You'd have to import a fly into Goshen in order to have one there. And probably by the time it would get there, it would be dead. All right? So you could have maybe a dead fly there, but you will not get flies there in Egypt. And so all the children of Israel just were not harmed, not even one hair on their head, while all the firstborn in Egypt were killed. And then God had Pharaoh thrust Israel out of there. Get them out of here, you people have killed my son. You've turned this place upside down. And so they went, and then they decided to... It's like you can't imagine how stupid... I mean, I can't imagine how stupid they are. I would only have to see it in the Bible and then see it happening today. You people in the world are so utterly stupid that you stink. You're in darkness and you don't know it. Open your eyes. Come into the Lord. Just come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to enter into your heart. And God will open up your blind eyes so that you can see how utterly stupid you've been. Lord, I ask that they do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now continue on.
Most people say, quote, upon his return, unquote. No, when he returns, it will be too late. It has to be before he returns.
You have to repent now, because he could come any time. He's going to shorten the time. These tribulations are going to start hitting one rapidly, one time after the other. And meteorites could fall on you. Or the earth could open up. God has done this before. Or you could catch some dreaded disease. You wake up and you got a pain on your left side or in your neck. You go to the doctor and, oh my God, it's cancer. Oh my God, it's some other, I've got AIDS. And then what? Oh God, please save me now. Oh no. Start serving me, he will say. Repent. Get all your sins covered in the blood that I shed for you, and then begin letting me live in and through you. Well, Lord, we don't want to do that because we like sin too much. Well, then go to Hades. Go to hell and the lake of fire. Hell is not a curse word. It's a town. It's a town. The lake of fire is not a curse word. It's a lake of real fire. Okay, then what?
11, verse 20 through 29. God is mindful of the covenant promise he made to the fathers, and he will fulfill it. The word that shows that verse 29 is a reason given to demonstrate the truthfulness of verse 28, while immediate reference of the gifts and the calling of God is to the privilege of Israel. So one can forfeit this special anointing if they don't keep the commandments. 11, verse 33 through 36. After the longest extended theological argument in the New Testament, chapter 1, verse 16 through chapter 11, verse 33, Paul reflects on the amazing wisdom and knowledge of God in his plan of salvation, which breaks forth into spontaneous praise, unsearchable, unable to be fully discovered or understood by us. But now it is, and so therefore we know more today than they did then.
Like the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation say, the mystery of God is finished. In other words, all these preachers are saying that it's impossible to know all about God. It isn't impossible. You just search all about God. All that we need to know about the Lord is in the Bible. And the 10th chapter of Revelation, just before the Lord comes back to earth, the mystery of God is revealed. And the mystery also of wickedness is revealed. Can't you tell the difference between wickedness and the things of the Lord?
No.
Well, if you can't, your eyes are tightly shut. And I would suggest, you know, whether you are such a thick-headed person that you just think you're right because of what your mama and your daddy told you, or somebody else that you have high esteem for,
you better check it out for yourself, because, you know, my mama and my daddy was wrong. And your daddy and mammy might be wrong as well, all right? Okay, go ahead. And Al Jolson's mammy and daddy was wrong, too. All right? And if he'd have known that, maybe he wouldn't have sang Mammy. All right? Then what else?
Knowledge shall be increased. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. The mystery of God is revealed. It says so in chapter 10 of Revelation. 11, verse 36. And quote, all things, unquote. The universe, ourselves, our salvation, and everything else, all are from God and work through His sustaining power and ultimately further His glory. The proper response of every creature is to give God glory forever.
Well, why should we give Him glory? Because we can't stay out of hell through anyone else but Him. We can't stay out of the lake of fire but through Him. And so, of course, you give glory to somebody that keeps you out of hell in the lake of fire. How do you give glory to the Lord? You just do what He says, so that it's for your benefit. It's for your benefit. Wouldn't you thank somebody if they saved your life? Well, how much more one that saves your life and your eternal soul? Well, we don't like a dictator. You're living under a dictatorship today. Only the dictatorship that you're living under is Satan's dictatorship. And if I were you, I would choose to let God be your dictator. Because you have to choose who's going to be your dictator, because you're going to live under one dictator or the other. Now, I know who my dictator is, but some of you, most of you out there, are so deceived you don't know that you're living under the dictatorship of Satan. All right, now we have knowing these things, knowing and understanding who you are and what you are and where you are and the level of where you are, and knowing the ascension. If you want to be saved, you need to know the ascension. So let's begin part 7.
Now that authority that we who were of Christ, who have belonged to Christ, obtain in the position of His ascension, to be ascended with Him, is the basis upon which we are able to defeat Satan, to overcome.
Right, because we're sitting in the only strategic spot in the world to be able to overcome Satan. We're sitting in the heavens. Spiritually, we're hooked up there, just like a sea diver that's in a diving bell down below is hooked up to an oxygen tank on a ship or a boat. And we're able to talk to the person up on the boat when we're down in the waters, and we're able to get air from there. Well, this is the way that you can visualize our connection with the Lord in the kingdom of God, sitting with Him there, hooked with Him, receiving our air, the Holy Spirit from there, and receiving His voice from there, from the top side on the ship. And then what?
In Luke 10:19, the Lord says, quote, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy."
So God gives us His power. Then what?
"And nothing shall in any wise hurt you," unquote. In other words, when you're sitting in the ascension of the Lord, nothing shall in any wise hurt you. The serpents mentioned by the Lord refer to the different people possessed with Satan, the devil. And the scorpions are also the evil spirits in human beings that are the messengers of Satan and the ones that are members of his body. These are God's enemy, and these are our enemies. All they have is a worldly power, but what the Lord gives us is His power and authority. In other words, when the Bible tells us that all power in heaven and on earth belongs to the Lord, this means that all satanic power has no power whatsoever over us. But there are some writers that say the Lord gives us authority rather than power. That is false.
Well, I mean, authority is power. But they say a power and authority are two different things. Okay, that's what I meant there. Then what else?
So they say that authority to deal with all the power of the enemy. The Bible does not say that the enemy does have power, the power and principalities of darkness, but the Lord gives us His power and authority over them. Some writers say that authority is more powerful than power, but no, if you have authority, you have power. So here we go. I'll prove this by the scriptures. I'm going to read it to you right now. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. If that's all we have is authority, then listen to this.
quote, when he, Jesus, had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them, bracket, it doesn't say authority, it says he gave them power, which means authority, against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease.
Now that's real power, amen?
Amen.
And power to raise from the dead. Can Satan give you the power to raise from the dead? Absolutely not. Let's see any of you satanic people raise somebody from the dead. The power of God that was in me, I've raised. God, through me, has raised people from the dead. Okay, then what?
John chapter 1, verse 12 states, quote, that as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power, bracket power again, same thing as authority, end bracket, to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Bracket, and we know that his name is the Word of God.
Now that's power to become, he's given us power to become sons of God, that's real power. Amen?
Amen.
And to be in his body, then what?
So these scriptures show that power and authority and dominion are all the same.
They're all one and the same. Then what?
In Revelation chapter 2, verse 26, it states, quote, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works, bracket, those that keep doing the work of the Lord unto the end, and bracket, to him will I give power over the nations, unquote. What the devil wants to do is to discourage you from continuing on to the end. Like he'll take your
continuing on serving the Lord, walking in the Spirit till the end. Then what?
He'll take your property away, throw you in prison, mock you, scoff you, malign you, and many people will begin mocking with them. But you have power and authority over your flesh, over yourself, over sin, Satan, the world, all the lusts of the world. Revelation chapter 11, verse 3 states, quote,
and on top of that, you have your heirs and joint heirs with everything that God owns. And so no matter what they do to you, you're still the richest person on earth. Then what else?
Quote, and I will give power unto my two witnesses. Bracket, that means authority, and bracket, and they shall prophesy.
Unquote. And dominion, right. Then what?
They have the power and authority to prophesy. And there are many scriptures also that refute the things that many Bible teachers are teaching. They teach that all the powers of darkness have power, but what the Lord gives us is authority. Right there, I just read you several scriptures that say he gives us power, and he also gives us authority. Power, authority, and dominion over everything. Quote, the Lord gives us power and authority in order for us to be able to deal with all the inferior, weak, and beggarly powers of the enemy, the devil. Unquote. I'll illustrate this by a bus or an airplane that moves around on a road or in the sky, if it's a plane. Although these vehicles are filled with power, yet a traffic policeman has the authority over it. But that doesn't mean that he has the power over the Lord. So these are bad examples. So when he runs his siren, most people will stop. Again, it is like an army. Although it has great power, some of these teachers say, yet the general has the authority to make them move one way or the other. He also has the power to do that. So when he gives an order, the army must obey, unless they go AWOL.
So the army is the one with the power. And the general has the authority to tell the army to do this or to do that. But the Christian has not only the power to do something because he's got God in him, and he also has the authority to do it. So he has the power, authority, and he has the dominion because he's sitting with Christ in heavenly places. So we have a threefold power going for us, power, dominion, and authority. God gives us the authority because of the fact that we believe in the authority. We've let God be our authority, and we do what he tells us to do. We then ourselves have authority, power, and dominion because we have received him. He gives power, authority, and dominion to those who receive his power, authority, and dominion. If you don't receive his power, dominion, and authority, then you have no power, dominion, and authority. It only works that way. You have to receive him before you can have his power, authority, and dominion. Then what?
So this is just power here on earth. These false prophets say that this power proves that authority is over power. But in reality, God says that power and authority and dominion are one in the same. They say that authority is over power and can control power. Well, no one can control the power of God. We can live in the power of God and have the authority of God, but they say that authority is greater than power. No, if you're sitting in the authoritative position of ascension, you have God's power, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the dominion over everything with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has given us the authority and the power to cast out devils and to heal the sick and afflicted. But the power and authority that the Lord gives us depends entirely upon our position with Christ of ascension. With the position where we sit with Christ in the heavenly places, in his ascension, there is the power and authority. Without that position with Christ, there is no power or authority in us. So we must be totally clothed with the full armor of God in order for us to have the power and authority. Now a policeman does have a uniform, but once he takes it off or he leaves his post, he doesn't have any authority then or power to direct the automobiles. A general who is on leave from his duty has no power or authority to command an army. It's the same thing with the power and authority that comes from the Lord.
If we have the uniform, the full armor of God, then we have the authority to direct the entire universe. Then what?
It depends solely on our position of ascension with the Lord. Whenever we lose the position, whenever we fall away from ascension, we also fall away from spiritual power and authority. The Lord gives us power over everything, which is authority over everything. Therefore, in order to engage in spiritual warfare, we must first know the position of our ascension. And in the second place, we need to keep the position of ascension. Only then can we deal with God's power and authority to the enemy. The enemy also is our flesh, our self, our ideas, and so on. On the Apostle Paul's second journey, when he was preaching in Philippi, a certain maid with the spirit of divination followed, crying out after him. Paul, being greatly troubled, turned and said to the spirit, quote, "I charge thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her," unquote. And the spirit came out that very hour. Acts chapter 16, verse 16 through 18. Paul here was standing in the position of ascension and was exercising the heavenly power and authority to stop the enemy's disturbing inferior power that he has. Satan's power is to lie and to hype people into believing that he has more power than God and more authority than the Lord, and therefore we need to take power and authority and dominion over this. Likewise today, if and only if we stand in the position of ascension, we can directly command the environment, rebuke difficulties, and destroy all the works of the enemy, which means destroy all the power of the enemy.
This is spiritual warfare. Whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So we're directing that which happens on earth in heaven as well. And whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So we have a great responsibility, and we have great power. That's a lot of power to be able to direct what's going on here on earth and in heaven. So you've heard the Romans 11th chapter, 36 verses, translation. You've heard a couple of responses and two letters, one from Africa and one from India. And then part 7 of knowing yourself, knowing the ascension. And so until tomorrow, where I'll be doing, God willing, the 12th chapter of Romans, and also part 8 of Knowing the Ascension. This is Pastor Tony Alamo saying, keep your mind stayed, meditate on the Lord, meditate on everything that the Lord has given me to give you today, and God bless you and praise the Lord.